Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're live worldwide on the award-winning CUTV News Radio. This is Jim Masters. Thank you so much for joining us. 1 p.m. Eastern at the time of our broadcast on Friday, September 22nd, 2017, the very first day of autumn, very first day of fall. We hope you have a wonderful fall, and we thank you for making us a part of your day wherever you are listening from coast to coast in America, Canada, and around the world. Very excited to welcome back for another exciting, in-depth, and thought-provoking series with us, Susan Kohler. Now, Susan is somebody who's been on our broadcasts before, and we've done some in-depth interviews with her, and I also had the opportunity to personally meet in a television video interview that we did in the early part of the summer, where she came to our studio and we did a sit-down one-on-one interview and really got a chance to learn even more about the phenomenal work that Susan does. Susan Kohler is a dementia care specialist and co-founder of Connected Hearts, a unique experiential training program that teaches the subtle powers of communication to make meaningful, emotional connections with persons living with dementia. Now, Susan's techniques can improve quality of life for your loved one, provide safety and cooperation with daily care, and greatly reduce the burden on you, the caregiver. I actually know personally a friend who is going through this situation with her husband and at a relatively young age, and she's been following along actually on the series of interviews we've been doing with Susan, and has been learning a lot, and it's not easy, but there is support. You know, in the next 40 years, the population over the age of 65 is expected to double. This means more and more children will be asked to care for their aging parents. And when those parents suffer from dementia, caregiving becomes an experience fraught with emotion and, above all, frustration. Now, according to Susan, the true essence of communication is only made when there's a connection. For the person with dementia, the natural process of communication no longer functions in the style and efficacy and speed in which it did before the disease manifested. You take away a person's ability to connect with other human beings, and isolation, declining health, depression, loss of ability, and diminishing quality of life will quickly follow. So good communication practices are the means to forge genuine, meaningful, and lasting connections with one another. And by utilizing innovative communication strategies and training, which Susan offers, we can teach, reach out and teach and facilitate the connections needed for safety and wellness with daily caregiving. Susan has worked with elderly populations for over 25 years, and she is the author of How to Communicate with Alzheimer's, and it's a spectacular book. I've had an opportunity to read through it, and actually on a multiple occasion, I've read it two or three times. It really is a groundbreaking book on dementia care that teaches the communication techniques that are necessary. We're going to talk about that and so much more and some of the new exciting things Susan is involved in since we chatted with her last on our broadcast. But let's welcome back to our show live and worldwide right now, Susan Kohler. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. It's always an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. And welcome back to CUTV News Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's just a pleasure to be here and to speak with you again. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. You know, I mentioned in the introduction, Susan, that the aging population really is exploding. The fastest growing sector of employment is elder care. There's always going to be jobs in this field, it seems, and there will always be children who have to care for their ailing parents. And that means that there's a lot of people who need to really learn these techniques, learn how to handle this, learn the importance of communication, love, and connecting, right?
You know, it's so true that we are, I don't want to say we are going to be burdened, but we are going to have the responsibility to take care of our aging parents. And I noticed, you know, you mentioned that you said more children will take care of their parents, but think about it in terms of more adult children are taking care of their parents. So it really puts into perspective where we are in our lives and that we have to take care of our parents who are in general living longer. What's interesting, Jim, is the way that dementia progresses. They usually talk of it in three stages. And stage two used to be the longest stage of a person who had this disease. But now that people are living longer, stage three is the longest stage. And that's where things are more critical, more severe. And more than ever do we need training on how to help and deal with this population, because in that third stage we have much more complications, much more disease processes of other conditions going on, and we need to be able to know how to reach out and connect and love these people even more than before.
Absolutely. And, you know, I understand that through all of this and the work that you do, which has been extensive and intensive over the years, you've also been reaching out to Washington as well. Tell us about that, what that process is like, what you've been trying to do, what you've been hoping to do with Washington, and what, if any, progress you've had dealing with Washington on all of this.
Well, I want to say, you know, I got involved with a group of dementia care specialists from across the country in 2012, and we have not given up on continuing to try to raise public awareness of what all this is about, and we worked towards getting a white paper submitted to Congress, and it was submitted in 2013, and we're all very proud of that, because Congress needs to be aware, in our opinions, of, you know, we have a lot of pharmaceutical companies who are looking at medication for this disease, but all of us who know and work with people and families of anyone with dementia, we know they need help right now. We know that there needs to be ways that we help them understand the process, help them understand how to communicate, how to connect, how to support them. And there needs to be training. There needs to be outreach. There needs to be more programs available. And that's basically where we are, having presented the paper to outline what needs to be done for this population right now. People are living with this disease now. People are taking care of people with this disease. And it's very, very important that we all speak up and understand that from the government level down to every individual, we can be a part of the support needed to help everyone in this particular almost, do you want to say, a crisis going on. We've got to reach out, and we've got to know how to work and be able to communicate and care for all of our loved ones who may be suffering or will be suffering from this disease in the future.
You know, the irony of what you're talking about, Susan, with respect to communication and connection, I mean, it's that it's so obvious, but it's so easily forgotten when you're a caregiver, because it can be very emotional and get very emotional very quickly. And oftentimes, and even in my experience too, and in chatting with caregivers and knowing family and friends who have been caregivers, whether it's Alzheimer's, dementia, I mean, even just other illnesses, recovering from injury, whatever it is, just being a caregiver, you put your life on hold for the other person, because it's an automatic response and there's caring. But then sometimes because of that and because of the emotion and the lack of taking care of yourself and eating and the stress, and the caregiver themselves can be overwhelmed and become ill and fraught with depression. And so the caregiver really becomes sometimes a center of focus, or should be as well, and oftentimes they're not, because the focus is going on the person needing more of an urgent care, right?
Yes, that's very true, and it's one of the reasons why we want to raise public awareness that we need to reach out to the people who are taking care of people who have a dementia, and that once that we help them facilitate their day, facilitate their connection, facilitate their care, then they tend to feel less stressed, less burdened, because things are happening where there's more success. You know, when you think about it, communication is so essential because it's a way that we meet our individual needs for basic things like food and shelter, social, emotional needs, and also for self-actualization. We need the exchange with other people to just affirm who we are and what we are. And communicating also helps us provide information to each other and give praise and support. So if we are aware of our communication skills and processes, then we can see how we make a connection with someone. And in the case of someone with dementia who doesn't initiate that to us, we become the facilitator in order to make the communication happen between two people. And then we get safety and cooperation with care. And that's what's so essential, and I believe is at the foundation for this care. Now, we have to practice these techniques. That's something we really have to make sure people understand. It's not a magic wand, and it's not a little tip. It's a technique, and it needs to be practiced. And that's why the book, which I hope you mentioned you read it, I hope it's an easy read. It's meant to be that way, so that you begin to process what is going on, and you try things out, you look how you're communicating, come back and look at it again. You mentioned you read the book again, and that's exactly what I was hoping, that people would use it to help develop their skills.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is a book that becomes a reference book too, one to go back to, one to read and then pick up again to remind yourself, or to spot something maybe you missed the first time. It's a terrific resource, and like I say, a reference book. It's not something you read once and put it up on the shelf to collect dust. You have it handy, and you keep referring back to it, which I think is a best way to do it. Leave it out on the coffee table, because you'll probably be going back again and again to it. It's a very well thought out book. It's beautifully written. It's written with care and attention, and in a supportive way. So I commend you, you know, on the style in which you took the time to really gingerly prepare the book and offer the book, yet with facts and important things of information that are relevant and that can really help people. Obviously, you can't remove the emotional aspect of caregiving for a loved one, but Susan, how do you really negotiate it, navigate it when caring for a loved one with dementia? I mean, it could be obviously incredibly frustrating and corrosive to the soul to watch a family member, your parents or husband, wife, sometimes even somebody younger than yourself, child, anybody, slowly deteriorate before your eyes. I mean, it's extraordinarily painstakingly excruciating for that to occur in the way that it does, and to see deterioration and see the lack of control that they have with their own bodies and minds. It's not easy. So how do you navigate all of it?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and we can't take away the emotional component. What I'm hoping to offer is a way to manage and cope on a level of that basic foundation of a connection that will help you see what that person needs, So much of the difficulty with a person with dementia, no matter how much verbal expression they have or how much they gesture or what their behaviors are, it's really trying to look at what is their unmet need. And when you get good at the communication techniques, you will see that. And that helps the coping certainly much more than not having any knowledge or techniques to try to use in practice. So that's one of the things that I constantly remind people, is that first and foremost, they need to come forward and look at how can they make that connection using the techniques, and how will the techniques guide them in order to keep that connection. There's one of the things I also talk to people about is if they're caring for someone with dementia, how they must accept that dementia is a process. So we talk about the moments where someone may seem a little more lucid or have a little more thoughts or ability to verbalize something coming, that those are beautiful moments to savor, and that's a good feeling in that moment, but that we are still dealing with a disease process. So we need to keep honing our communication skills. And the wonderful thing is, if you work from the book, like you said, I spent a good deal of time thinking about its title, because I did say that it was a book on communicating with Alzheimer's, but then I said a workbook and practical guide, because I wanted it to be something that people came back to and used and looked at and continued their thoughts on what is making communication work for them, because it will be slightly different for different people. It'll be slightly different and start to change as the disease process continues. And so if you're practicing them all the time, you'll simply go with that, make the adjustments, and you'll keep a connection. Even when there's very little verbal response or what seems like very little response, there is still a person inside who does react to what you are bringing to them, which is that compassion and care in a positive way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very, very true. I mean, it benefits both the caregiver and the person being cared for. I mean, it creates that possibility for more positive experiences along the way. And, of course, every single day is going to be different. I mean, you're going to wake up, and each day there's going to be different things you experience. It can be sort of a roller coaster. So obviously, the person that's receiving the care needs the care. The caregiver obviously needs a support system around them. It's sort of like a chain, isn't it? Sort of like we are all threaded together, meant to support and help one another. And sometimes, I mean, I tend to be a caregiver type, and you and I have discussed this even off air. You're a caregiver type. We run to the aid of people. We put ourselves aside. We don't know any other way. It's who we are. It's the way we were made, raised in our DNA. But there are times when even we, as a caregiver, no matter what the situation, need to have a support system around us, almost like a coach being coached. Isn't that so true?
It's very true. There's a section in my book about making sure you do think about the time you need for yourself and where are the resources that you can go to. I think it's very, very important, which is another reason to raise public awareness about this. At the basis of connecting and making good connection, caregivers do need other connections for the support that they need in order to be able to fully take care of someone. And I am amazed at how many more services are starting to come about and trying to help people connect to those. I have people who, when I give my presentations, come to me and are asking for different services. And I really do hear, you know, where they do need help. And I start to research where these new areas are and what's available in their area. And we email back and forth to try to see if we can't help each other. I get to learn of new places where there's new organizations that are helping, and likewise the person who's contacted me gets some new referral sources for how they take care of this particular individual that is in their need. And I think that it's so important that even in our daily interactions, that we're looking at how we communicate with one another. Because you mentioned this, even feeling like, you want to reach out to others all day long, you don't know, perhaps even on the street or waiting in line at the grocery store, there may be someone who is in the early throes of this, and they need to have people reach out and connect with them. The way we go through our days sometimes is we don't reach out and have communication exchanges with people. And I think it needs to be part of what we do during the day, is think about how we do reach out and connect with others. And then that becomes a good practice that we're doing all the time. So when we do talk with people who may have dementia, or we are helping caregivers or families, we're right there. We understand and we appreciate it on a level because we've been experiencing it throughout the days.
Absolutely. What are the positive aspects to be gained by using good communication practices? And for the purposes of our audience, when we say good communication practices, some may think, oh, well, that means saying hello, saying goodbye, saying please, saying thank you, almost the respectful side of good communication practices. But can you explain a little bit more about what good communication practices actually are and some of the positive aspects to be gained by using them?
I'd be happy to. The book talks about how we can't take that communication process for granted. And it does absolutely start out with simply giving respect to someone. And that respect that you would give to anyone you come in contact with. Person with dementia really responds to those overtures, especially when they're in a positive way. And the book stresses how important it is to really practice your communication efforts so that you provide opportunities for positive exchanges. That will certainly help no matter what the task might be with the person in your care, whether it's to get them dressed, to get them to the doctors, or to sit down and have a meal with them, or simply have an exchange. The more positive the energies feel, the better and the more ease it will go as you are practicing your techniques. And the techniques, which are outlined in the book, go through very basically how to present yourself and come forward. And you do start with things like a greeting, like hello and good morning. And looking and waiting, not rushing an encounter, but looking to wait for a response and then affirming that response when it comes. And if at some point it seems like the person isn't able to quite come around and connect, really looking at and listening to them with your eyes and your ears, what may be going on that their needs are at that moment, which might be different from yours, so that you adjust what you need to do and you are there meeting them where they need to be. So it might mean that you have to change your agenda. And I think that's something hard in the world that we're driven in these days. We just want to kind of barrel through and get our things done. And the process of connecting with one another really takes a different approach and awareness to what's happening with the other person at the moment, and then responding to that. And the book helps you understand that and gives you ways to do that.
It sure does. And again, it's a tremendous resource, and one that we recommend people have at their fingertips. Also makes, a great gift. Funny to consider it a gift, but a gift that is incredibly deep and moving. The book is How to Communicate with Alzheimer's, a groundbreaking book on dementia care that actually teaches the techniques, the communication techniques that we've been talking about. And Susan has worked, as I mentioned, with the elderly population for over 25 plus years. So walks the walk, talk the talk, knows all the ins and outs, and has studied this deeply. Now, Susan, do the strategies help you quickly project sort of the energy you need to establish trust with a person? Like with any relationship, trust is essential. And once trust is there and trust is formed and it's real and it's authentic, the relationship is that much deeper, richer, and the responses probably quicker and greater as well. Tell us about that.
The techniques absolutely do that, because you are looking at the person and, as I said before, listening to them with your eyes and your ears, and making overtures that are positive and reinforcing, that person is put at ease so much more than if you just came forward and didn't have any awareness of that. The way I have written the book in this particular fashion takes you through how that just keeps building trust and connection, with their needs being met in a way that lets them know that they're definitely being cared for, and they sense that right away. We have a technique that's as simple as using a calm tone of voice, and how that immediately changes your energies as well, and lets that person know that someone friendly and caring is there with them. It lets them know at that moment that their needs are going to be taken care of. And over time, using then all these techniques and getting good at what you're a unique, you know, everyone's unique. So what's unique to you brings out in those techniques, that trust continues to build, that trust is there more easily, and the cooperation is there more easily.
And that's what is essential. I mean, the trust is essential in really all aspects of life, but especially in this situation. You know, this is so important because there's a strange phenomenon that occurs, obviously, when caring for a loved one. You sort of brace yourself every day for the eventual end, and when it doesn't happen, or there's a good day or moments of lucidity, sometimes you can resent it. You can even resent them. It's an odd, strange series of feelings and emotions that run the gamut, and it's a product of the stress, obviously, and frustration of caring for a loved one. But the techniques sound as though they can really go a long way toward helping a person navigate the experiences and ensure that safety and security of the person being cared for. So you're always, bottom line, I guess, Susan, making good decisions in their best interest, right?
You know, that's exactly what we want to accomplish, is caring for someone, the acceptance of what dementia is, but there's so much we can do each day, each moment, to bring them back into the fabric of our society and not let them be pushed away, and try to turn people around who think that nothing can be done. And yet, if you create that connection with someone who has dementia, you'll see that there's so much potential for your care and what you bring to them and what they do in return. That just is also a good feeling for your efforts and knowing that this is what you wanted to do in taking care of them. And both the caregiver and the cared for have a positive experience. And we certainly, all of us, need our positive experiences every day.
Right. What I love about the book, too, is it's a book of real strategy and technique, not necessarily tips. It's more strategies and techniques, and broken down in fantastic chapters, in sections that are easy to follow, routines that you can do, response, recognition. We'll talk more about it as we continue the series, but I also wanted to say something very special, and that is, of course, the book itself. We're talking about How to Communicate with Alzheimer's, a Practical Guide and Workbook for Families by Susan Kohler, our special guest. The book is dedicated to your father, a model of integrity and grace, always giving you love in abundance. Beautiful way to wrap our show. Susan, we'll be back with us, and we look forward to it. Thanks for sharing all of this with our audience today. We really, really appreciate it. We wish you a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you again soon. Thank you very much, Susan.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's an honor to be with you today.
Absolutely. and thank you for all that you're doing in the community as well. Our very special guest, Susan Kohler of Connected Hearts. Her website, ConnectedHeartsLLC.com. ConnectedHeartsLLC.com to find out about the book and much more. This is Jim Masters, CU TV News Radio. Thank you for joining us as well. Have a great day.